everybody. Welcome to the inaugural podcast of A Flock of Donkeys. Now, I know what you're thinking. I know what you think. That's a ridiculous name. And it is. But it actually describes exactly what we're doing
here. Totally appropriate.
It's totally appropriate. And the reason that we call it A Flock of Donkeys is because this is going to be a Northwest regional podcast. We're sick and tired of this East Coast bias. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
They can keep their opinions.
They can get, yeah, absolutely. Who wants to hear those blowhards? I don't. I'm sick and tired. I'm over it. I'm over it. So we decided to start this podcast to talk about the two Northwestern regional teams, the Seahawks and the Broncos. And that's where the name comes from. You know, we've got a flock of Seahawks. And, you know, the Donkeys.
A herd of Broncos.
Which we'll call Donkeys. Or the Donkeys. Yeah, that's
please,
how
no
I prefer
Broncos
it.
Fans be offended by that.
No, please do. It's a good time. All right. So, basically, I'm your host, Adam Emmert, your resident Seahawks fan. Across the table from me is my good friend, the man that is so important they gave him two first names, Jared Tim, our resident Broncos fan. And, basically, on this podcast, what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little football. We're going to drink a beer and review it. And
that's really the most important part
right now. It's the three S's that are important here. We are going to smoke, swig, and swear on this podcast. So if you have fucking virgin ears, you ought to plug them. Just earmuffs.
Yeah.
Earmuffs.
Just wean it out. You'll be fine.
Wean it out. Just cry yourself to sleep, whatever you got to do. So first off, we're going to talk a little about the beer that we're drinking today. It's the Pink Ass Porter.
Harvest Moon Brewing Company out of Great Falls, Montana.
It's an excellent beer. Yeah. Jared, you're a little more familiar with this beer than me. Tell me a little bit about it.
I really like porters because they're kind of robust. They're not super high in alcohol, which means you can drink more of them, actually.
And that just means you'd have to buy your date more of them. So that's not what you wanted.
And there's bear pig's asses on the logo of the beer.
Yeah,
and it's local, and you really can't beat Montana beers just because the water's so good here.
Absolutely. That's why we're smarter than everybody else, is because we drink the water.
We drink good beer.
And good water, but mainly beer.
But that's the beer. So Pig's Ass Porter, Harvest Moon Brewing Company, you should give it a shot. It's great.
Because it's wicked tasty.
And there'll be more to come.
So we're going to break this down into two segments every weekish or so. You know, through the off season, it might not be every week, but... you know, once the season starts, we'll be hitting you every week with our amazingly imaginative thoughts.
With our intellect.
So, first thing we're going to do is, every week, we're going to flip a coin to see which segment we're going to start with. Either it's Chicken Scratch or Donkey. What was it, Donkey?
Oh, shit. It was,
I'm going to just say
Donkey Spit.
Donkey Spit. I was going to say Donkey Ball since you couldn't remember.
No, we're not going with Donkey Ball.
So, here it is.
You can't totally offend me this entire time.
I can and will. So, here's our flip. Oh, and it's tails. Look at that. Because there is a bird on the back, that means it's hot dog to start out with. So what I want to talk about today regarding the Hawks was free agency. We're not going to get in the draft because neither you or I are college football watchers.
Hate mock drafts because they're always wrong and they're just a gigantic waste of your freaking time.
It's just a bunch of fucking bullshit.
A total waste
Guys with big hair talking about shit that they really don't even know
And
about.
Everybody comes out with a different mock draft. Every other day.
And let's face it, you're not going to know what the Johns are going to do. Whether it's John Schneider.
By the way, in Johns we trust.
Yeah, we do trust the Johns. So with that, you know, just looking at the Seahawks free agency, I'm not going to talk much about Percy Harvin. Now, it's hard for me to say the name Percy in seriousness. Like, it's going to be difficult for me to root for the guy without calling him Pussy. Like,
I can't
time.
Wait till you say his name. Every time you say his name,
no,
I can't.
He will be Mr. Harvin, like, every time that I talk about him. So, Mr. Harvin... You know, love the signing. The guy obviously makes the offense very, very open. Like, we can do a lot of different things with him.
Absolutely.
Everybody knows that. You can line him up in the backfield. You can line him in the slot.
He's a total hybrid offensive player.
Absolutely. Yeah, the only person you don't want to line him up with is your girlfriend. Because So, basically, you know, obviously, Percy Harvin, dynamic trade for the Seahawks. I mean, what an amazing coup. And it's really out of form for what the Seahawks do.
It is, but you guys have a GM and a coach that can really control a personality that you may have problems with. You know, there's the reports of Percy Harvin being a problem back in high school, college. True. Throw that out the window, man. It doesn't freaking matter at this point.
Absolutely. I mean, not only that, Pete Carroll recruited this guy in college.
Yeah.
You know, they have a long history. Pete Carroll has a history of dealing with divas. Reggie Bush, anybody?
So, kept that under control.
Absolutely. So basically, I think this is going to fit in great. And honestly, tell me who's going to buck Russell Wilson in that locker room. He's the man. Like, nobody's going to...
Nobody.
Nobody.
He controls the locker room already. As a rookie, he did.
Absolutely. So...
Well, like we were talking before, I mean, how you know, this doesn't lead to running more of a spread offense. Tell us why.
Not even more of a spread offense, but even... The read option.
The read option, right.
Yeah, the read option.
That's what I meant, actually.
Yeah, I knew what you meant, and that's why we came back to it. So, so the read option, you know, everybody looked at that sign and said, well, you're obviously going to run a lot more read option. And that's just not the case. In fact, I think we're going to do the exact opposite. And yes, I use we when I'm talking about the Seahawks, and I'm not on the team, so suck it. Like, that's how that's going to go.
I'm a Bronco, too, so I will say we.
Okay.
Shut up.
So with my thinking on this is, you look at all the people in the league. I mean, Mike Tomlin, for example, comes out and says, I look forward to stopping the read option in a Shaft voice, you know. And Shaft! He can dig it. So, so, you know, I think the Seahawks are looking at this and saying, fine, spend all your time trying to stop the read option. Because it was a tiny part of our offense to start with. It's yeah. We're not a read option offense. And if you want to spend all your time trying to stop the read option, great. But we're going to go another direction. And,
exactly.
And look at Percy Harvin's history. It's not that he was ever used in a read option attack in the pros. Obviously, he was in college with Tebow. I mean, we all know that. But in the pros, with Brett Favre, did he run the read option?
No, he was mainly a slot receiver who he could line up outside if you want to. He's got great speed.
Absolutely.
He can spread a defense out.
Absolutely. So, you know, didn't run it with Brett Favre. Didn't run it with Donovan McNabb. Although, I don't even know if they ran an offense with Donovan McNabb.
Wait, Donovan McNabb?
Yeah, he was there. Believe it or not.
Him I and, do remember that.
Him in all his roles. So
okay, another thing is, yeah. is Percy Harvin was disgruntled for a long time because Brad Childress was at the helm for a little while.
You try.
Think about it.
You try playing for Brad Childress.
Good luck.
Yeah.
No, keep him as a coordinator, you might be okay. Mm-hmm. Head coach, a complete disaster.
No.
But anyways.
The guy wants to win. That's yeah. the bottom line. He's a competitor. He's yep. an ultra competitor.
That's why I went to Seattle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When he talked at this press conference, he didn't mention Christian Ponder once because he sucks nuts. Like, everybody knows. Scapula is set too far forward. Trent Dilfer tells us this.
You know, he did have some flashes last year that I saw. I remember talking to you about that. I was like, man, maybe Christian Ponder figured it out. There were a couple of games where I was just like, man. But then it fell off again.
Yeah.
And that was early in the season where he'd had an entire offseason to train for just these teams in specific. You know?
True.
And then it went off again.
He got married and comfortable.
Like, yeah.
That's exactly what
yeah.
happened.
Yeah, he's satisfied.
So let that be a lesson to you.
Don't get married.
Ever. Ever, ever, ever. So, yeah, they're not going to run a bunch more read option. They didn't run it with Donovan McNabb with him. They didn't run it with Christian Ponder with him. They didn't run it with Brett Favre with him. And honestly, if you look at some of the other of the Seahawks free agent signings, notably Brady Quinn, that also points to me that we're not going to run a bunch more read option. Because they looked at four different quarterbacks. They looked at Tyler Thigpen. They looked at Seneca Wallace.
Who was comfortable in Seattle already.
Absolutely. And he's a running quarterback.
Yeah.
They looked at Tyler Thigpen. Good arm. Another athletic running quarterback.
Yep.
They looked at Brady Quinn. And I'm totally blanking on the fourth suddenly. But
it doesn't matter.
It was a dude I didn't want. Oh, it was Liner. That's who it was. yeah, exactly. And so, you know,
you're going with plan A.
Absolutely. So there was obviously two guys that fit a read option quote system.
Of course.
And that's Tyler Thigpen or Seneca Wallace. Mm-hmm. And they didn't sign either of those two guys. They signed a drop back passer in Brady Quinn.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, that has to mean that you're not relying on the read option as a major part of your offense. Even if you are, let's say Russell Wilson does go down. Mm-hmm. And Brady Quinn has to come in. And you're not going to redesign your whole offense at that point. I mean, everybody says, we can adjust and
not.
Blah, blah, blah. That's a waste of time. It's a waste of preparation. It's not going to get you anywhere. So they send Brady Quinn to come in and to come in and spell Russell, if he does get injured, as a drop back passer. And granted, he's athletic. Mm-hmm. I mean, you looked at him in those EAS commercials or whatever it was. Or
Wild Bucks.
He's done.
Let me play devil's advocate just for a second.
Right,
on this.
So you
did bring out these guys to work out who could run a read option style offense.
Yeah.
Maybe you brought in Brady Quinn, understanding his athletic ability to where he could potentially run this style of offense briefly if he had to. And maybe when you brought him in for his workouts, he showed that he could run it.
That's a possibility. I mean, like I said,
I agree with you, though. I'm just trying to see the other side of
it. But my thought is this, do you think Brady Quinn is an equal, lesser, or better thrower than Tyler Thigpen or Seneca Wallace? I think he's a better thrower.
He is better.
And that's what they signed this guy.
Mm-hmm.
They signed him because he's a better thrower.
And I think he's an athlete. He's athletic enough to be able to run a little bit of read option if he had to.
Right.
He is a superior athlete.
Absolutely. And I think there's two other reasons they went with Brady Quinn. And I think these are probably going to be the biggest part of his signing. He's probably not going to play that much. Russell's a durable guy.
Yeah. And he's not going to take as many hits as he did last year.
Absolutely not. And he didn't even take that many.
No.
So I think the two things that they really brought Brady Quinn in for is he is also noted as being an extremely hard worker. Charlie Weiss,
a professional.
Absolutely. Charlie Weiss came on one of the Seattle radio stations the other day, and he was talking about what a hard worker Brady Quinn is and what a good guy he is in the quarterback room. He is somebody that's been around the league long enough to where he's seen enough, and he's a smart guy. He's great at the line of scrimmage. That's not his problem. Yeah. He's got it all in his head. That it's not a mental problem for Brady Quinn.
It's his reaction time and his ability to read defenses.
He's just not accurate.
Well, we had him in Denver. Never was he a problem. And if somebody did go down, if he had to come in for a couple games, you weren't that worried. He could maintain a team to maybe get you half of your wins. You know, and if he played four games, he could get you two wins. That's enough to maintain a good winning record.
Unless you're
during
in Kansas
the season.
Well, yeah.
Kansas City's a whole other debacle.
It's a dumpster fire. We're not going to get into Kansas City, but they are definitely a dumpster fire.
Beep the Chiefs.
So they brought him in because he's a hard worker and he mentally knows the game.
And he's been around it for a long time.
And, you know, you think about that quarterback room with two smart guys, with Russell and him bouncing ideas
with
off
each
other.
With a work ethic like that?
Yeah. With a work ethic. I think it's really going to work. I think it's a brilliant signing. Yeah. I think it's a brilliant signing. Honestly, I wanted Seneca when I heard about this list.
Well, yeah, because you've liked him before. He's come
absolutely
in and given
you these soft spot
glimpses of just fresh feet. He was explosive when he would come in there. He could do anything you wanted him
to. And if you looked at his QB rating over his entire career, it actually was pretty decent. I don't remember exactly what it was. It was something in the 80s. But it was actually not so bad. But apparently his arm had fallen off, just like Carson Palmer. So naturally the Raiders brought him in for a workout and didn't sign him. Anyways, I do like that signing.
It's a great signing for you guys. It's a stable backup quarterback. And just as we've learned in the last couple of years in the NFL, having depth at quarterback is crucial.
At every position, especially quarterback.
I don't know what the average is, but on average, you have to look to lose your starting quarterback at least 2 to 3 games a season on average. Yeah. That's how starting quarterbacks go. So it's great to have that spot. Brock Osweiler.
And we will definitely get to Brock. I have some interesting questions for you about Brock later on in this.
All right.
So Brady Quinn, comfortable to signing. Obviously, they made a big splash on the defensive side of the ball with Michael Bennett, Cliff Averill, and who was the third lineman that they signed? Defensive tackle from the Dolphins, Tony McDaniel. That guy is a hoss, okay? Tony McDaniel, 6'7", 305.
Over 300 pounds. He's a big dude.
He's a man.
He's a big dude.
He's a man, baby.
he's a big guy.
Yeah. I went back and I watched his highlights from the Seahawks game when the Seahawks played Miami down in Miami.
They disrupted you guys a lot.
They did
up front,
and where the pressure came from was up the middle, right where he comes from. And I know you're laughing because you love pressure up the middle. That's what she said. But he's a run stuffer. He can get after the quarterback. He pushes the pocket. And I think it's going to help our pass rush tremendously because...
Well, that and what was one of your guys' weaknesses last year?
Pass rush up the middle.
Exactly.
It was a problem. You'd see Bruce coming around the end, and he would get by his guy. You'd see Chris Clemens.
Bruce come only around the end.
Yeah, that's his only move.
For now, we'll get into that.
We're hoping for more from the Brewster. But, it's been a little rough that way. But him and Chris would get around their guys. But the quarterback could just step up into a clean pocket.
And he had more than enough time
to make the right decision. So I like the Tony McDaniel signing for that, but I like the Michael Bennett signing for that even more. This guy gets after the quarterback.
Yeah.
And even with a bum shoulder, he played with this bum shoulder, torn labrum or whatever it is, all last year. And he's still produced.
He was still productive.
And we got him for next to nothing. On a one-year deal, a prove-it deal, which I love. I love prove-it deals.
I am a giant fan of one-year contracts.
It's absolutely,
you know, you don't risk a lot by doing that.
The risk is low. The cap hit doesn't travel with you year after year after year. So you can keep that cap down.
Yep.
And, you know, you can bring in talent. And on a year like this year, where it seems as if the free agency market was kind of suppressed.
Yeah.
I mean.
Which it was.
The Seahawks struck. And that's it, because it's not their MO. But when the deal was there, they went out and they got it.
And it really isn't like you guys to go after a Percy Harvin, but you did. And then you make these other signings, and they all completely make sense to fill in the pieces because you guys also draft so well.
We do.
So none of these are going to be an issue even if they don't work out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we've got guys. I mean, Chris Clemens is going to come back from his ACL at some point during the season. I can't
Everybody's
imagine.
Coming back from ACLs nowadays.
It's true.
It's like Tommy John surgery. Yeah. Stitch it up and you're welcome.
You're good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, who needs those CLs? But, you know, but in the meantime.
RG3 doesn't.
But in the meantime, the Cliff Averill signing fills that gap. Until Chris
Absolutely.
Clemens comes back.
Absolutely.
This guy's a productive player in his prime.
And it gives Chris Clemens plenty of time to come back from his injury.
We don't have to rush him back. We don't have to Derek Rose him on this.
No.
We can actually give him some time. Get healthy, be right, and come back and help the number two defense in the league get even better.
Get even better. And another thing about this is once Clemens is healthy, all this did was add more depth. You can never have enough depth on a roster, especially at the defensive front.
Absolutely. Never. I couldn't agree with you more there. Look at the New York Giants.
Exactly.
I mean, that's
one of the Super Bowls.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that and, you know, Eli Manning would get good for a few games.
Yeah, so, David Tyree in the face mask. Whatever.
But, hey, you do what you got to do. So, you know, that kind of goes over the defensive signings other than Antoine Winfield. And this was, you know, the most recent, but... It might be my favorite out of all the defensive signings. You know, when I looked at
it is a good
the Legion of Boom
really
last
is.
Year, I mean, safety play obviously was great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the corner play.
And like, it will be for the next several years.
The corners were focused all season.
Yeah.
Who knows why, Adderall or not. Like, don't make no never
it
mind.
It wouldn't matter if he was on Adderall or not. Richard Sherman's one of the greatest corners in the NFL right now.
He is. He's got
to try it tonight, I dare you.
The numbers don't lie.
No.
On that. They don't. And Browner, the pterodactyl with
his
gigantic...
He's a freaking giant.
It's insane. He's got that crazy wingspan.
He matches up against these gigantic, tall receivers nowadays. And then you can put Sherman on... Okay, so if you have a number two who's a 6'4", 6'5", receiver, and you got a number one that's a 6'2", 6'3", can just pretty much do anything. Great route runner, great speed. Put Sherman on him. Browner's a great number two corner to just cover whatever's left over.
He is. Knock knees and all. He's great at that.
Hey.
So once you have the outside locked up, that leaves the middle of the field. Now, our linebackers were not great in zone coverage last year. I mean, and part of that was Bobby Wagner being a rookie.
You were so young.
Absolutely. And KJ Wright, you know, like, he's improved in that area. I'll give him that.
He's got the tools, though.
He's a little tall for a linebacker, but seems to play, you know, with a pad level low enough to where, you know, he can be effective.
Mm-hmm.
But what really was the problem is when we put True on that slot receiver.
He lost five steps.
The wheels on the bus fell off. Okay.
That was all there was to it. I mean, you would watch this guy, and he was like in slow motion against each other.
I love Trufant.
Brandon Stokely could beat him in a 40-yard dash.
My grandma with a replaced hip might be able to beat him.
I love you, Brandon Stokely.
Yes, he does.
I really do. I had you twice. You were great.
He was a Seahawk for a while. We liked Stokes.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. You're great.
Yeah. Gotta love the Stokes.
Good career, man.
Antoine Winfield is a clear upgrade in that. Now, Pro 100%. Football Focus had him rated as their number one corner of the year. That's bullshit. Like, he wasn't the number one corner last year.
No,
but,
Chris Harris was.
But,
sorry.
That's debatable. You know, Winfield is going to be great in the slot. He is a hitter. So, not only is he good, you know, covering guys at short distances, because he doesn't have the speed he once did to cover a guy, like, once down, you know, long ways downfield.
Yeah.
Long time.
Anything over 30 yards, no.
But he's going to be great on those underneath routes, and if it is a run play out of a three-wide set, dude brings the boom.
He does. And look at another thing. Richard Sherman's a durable guy. So, say, and this... I don't want this to happen, knock on wood. Say Brandon Browner goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Depth.
Yep.
Another piece of depth. Look at how much depth, I mean, not to just switch this to the Broncos, but look at how much depth we had in our defensive backfield and how much it helped us down the stretch.
It's astonishing. I didn't see that depth going into last season for the Broncos, but those guys
we had
really
it. Well, it helps
up.
when you got guys like Chris Harris and Tony Carter coming in, but this is exactly what this does for you.
Yeah, exactly. You know? It makes that defensive backfield just one more guy deep. And on top of that, there's Jeremy Lane, who... He played really well last year when he came in.
He did.
He really did. And I was actually really impressed. I mean, going up against Randy Moss, of course he's not in his prime. Of course he's not as fast. But he was a lot bigger than Jeremy. Mm-hmm. Jeremy was the smallest guy on the team last year.
And with his situation coming in just a few plays here and there, he didn't have a lot of room to make mistakes.
No.
And he didn't.
He didn't as a rookie.
As a rookie.
So I feel great about Jeremy Lane. And then there's also Walter Thurman. He was the guy that was starting in front of Richard Sherman until he went down in the Giants game 2 years ago.
That's fine.
This guy can play.
He can.
If healthy, and that is the worst thing you can tag to a player, but, you know, he just...
I've heard you say health is a part of talent.
Health is a part of talent, and I'm hoping that he can get healthy again. So between those four guys, Sherman, Browner, Thurman, Winfield, well, five guys, Lang.
Yeah.
I feel like we've got a deep defensive backfield. And in a pass-happy league, I like that. I like that a lot. But those were the big defensive signing or free agency signings that I wanted to talk about. You know, obviously we got rid of Matt Flynn. Whoop-de-doo. We got
he wasn't going to play anyways.
Fifth round pick that I'm sure John Schneider will turn into liquid gold. Like, I mean,
as they do, as good GMs do.
You know, the only other free agent, quote unquote, is Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator. You know,
yeah,
he comes in to replace our man that ended up down in Jacksonville, and. He,
never to replace Jack Del Rio. Sorry, Jacksonville. This is a serious
Jack
downgrade.
Of the River. But Dan Quinn was with the Seahawks a couple seasons ago, goes down to Florida, becomes a defensive coordinator. He was a D-line coach when he was with the Seahawks.
Kind of coordinator? A defensive?
Defensive line. Pig's ass Porter's kicking in. The defensive line coach in Seattle. And he goes down to Florida. Becomes the defensive coordinator. That's a good season. I went down
he
when
did
they
have
signed
a good season, actually.
When they signed Dan Quinn. I decided to go and read some message boards of what the Florida fans were saying, like, "Oh, thank God he's gone," or whatever. Every one of them was, "This is a big loss.
Bummer.
What are we gonna do?" He's a bright mind. I think he's gonna be more aggressive, and he's really gonna help with those late game lapses. I mean,
focus is big time. If you got a guy that can keep your talent focused. That's where it's at.
It's a big deal. And we had those late game meltdowns, whether it was Miami or Detroit or against Chicago, or it pains me to say, I've been trying to blank it from my mind against the Falcons, okay? I think his aggressive mentality fits a little better with Coach Carroll. And
also with your defensive backfield that can lay anybody out.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan Davis.
Yeah. Wes Welker.
Oh, come on! You said you were going to bring it up.
I did. I brought it up. I just remember when Brandon Browner, you know, decided to knock Wes Welker's head off, you know, coming out
but,
of the wheel.
But letting Dan Quinn go, this really has to make you question Jacksonville's brass. Are they going to be one of those teams that just continues to crumble?
You know,
do they just want out of there, so they're trying to screw up?
That
doesn't even matter.
The owner of the team has the last name Khan. He can't be good at anything.
Well, yeah, and look at David Garrard go under those conditions. He's out here trying to sell you tickets, and then you tell him 3 hours later he's gone.
Yeah. Well, no, in Blaine Gabbert you trust, right?
So, oh, God.
Yeah. But, you know, good luck down there in Jacksonville. I do like Dan Quinn coming in. I think he's going to be good for the defense.
Absolutely.
Along with these signings.
And you still got Cable around.
I mean, as far as the offense goes, I think he gives the offense more of an identity.
Well, it's that toughness, you know?
Absolutely.
You have toughness across the board.
Absolutely. Sometimes you got to punch an assistant coach in the face, and that's what Tom Cable will do.
That's fine.
Yeah.
If that needs to happen, you have a go-to guy for that now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We can't go to anybody. John Fox isn't going to punch anybody.
Yeah. And if we ever need an ugly off, we'll send Cable out there to participate. But... I like the offseason so far for the Hawks. I'm actually really optimistic, obviously. I mean, look at the ESPN power polls. They got us ranked number one, so of course we're going to be the best team because those power polls mean a ton.
Yeah, but, they're as good as a mock draft.
Exactly. But it does show that the Seahawks are making aggressive, smart moves that keep us under the cap for now so that we can re-sign all of our young players that are going to be coming up here in the next year or two, whether that's Cam or Earl or Richard or Russell in a couple of years.
Yeah.
These are bright moves, and I really like the way the franchise is heading. It's one of the more exciting times to be a Seahawks fan.
Especially since you guys got your franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Later in the rounds. Not even in the first round.
Yeah.
You dug down. You found a guy. Boing. Gold. Yeah. Here he is. Congratulations.
We won. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, Russell obviously is a home run, and I could go off on Russell for like 4 years because I hope he leaves his wife and like marries me instead. Like, that's how much I love the guy.
He really does.
I do.
But it's nice to have a franchise guy. You know, you guys didn't draft Hasselbeck.
No.
You got him via free agency from Green Bay.
You know.
I mean, he's your guy. You drafted him. He's a great talent. He's your guy. You know, it's great to have a John Elway of your team when you have a guy that you – you know, we didn't draft him. We got him in his first year in his rookie season, though. But it's nice to have that guy that you could that your team grows with.
Absolutely.
You know, that they surround.
Absolutely.
It's nice to have your staple.
He's your guy.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I think it's about time to transfer over to the donkey spit
portion. We probably should. But before this, I think we should take a little break.
All right. We're going to take a little break before that. We're going to drink a little more pig's ass porter. Take a swig yourself. If you're not drinking while you're listening to this,
then you have problems.
And you're not enjoying it as much as you ought to.
I'm going
to
question you.
As you should. All right. We'll be right back. All right, we're back, fully hydrated with a little more pig's ass porter.
Yeah.
Ready for the donkey spit portion of the segment here. And I'm actually excited to
talk about the better part of the portion.
I know I'm a Seahawks homer and all that, but you guys, you have an exciting team.
We do, and we're building well through the draft, too. That's one thing I like, and that's one thing that you guys do so well. Is, you know, we tried the free agency thing. When McDaniels came in, and he, you know, there's some questionable drafts.
You think?
Big time. And even though I like No'Shawn Moreno, I like how he kind of resurrected his career last year. Mm-hmm. I never approve of taking a running back in the higher rounds.
Ever.
Just because I come from a Shanahan generation where we'll take Terrell Davis, Mike Anderson, Ruben Drones, Olandis Gary. We'll put anybody back there and get $1,000.
Name that back.
Clinton name that Denver back.
Yeah.
You just Clinton, you know, we'll put anybody back there. So I don't agree with taking running backs high. And now we're past that. You know, we got a good, you know, John Elway really knows what he's doing as far as the draft goes.
I agree. I've been super impressed with John Elway, the executive.
Exactly.
Which, it's so hard to reinvent yourself from
the player,
the legend, the man, the myth, and to come back and resurrect a franchise?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you guys went through a down period, quote unquote, like a whole 2 years.
No, it was a while. After Elway, we really did fumble for a while.
Okay.
You know? We made the playoffs once in a decade, like 2005.
But Elway has come back as your savior, and I think what he's done with free agency this year is pretty remarkable. I mean,
absolutely.
I look at the signings that you guys have, and I'm going to start on offense because I mean, it's an offense driven league. We all love offense, and we can all talk about Wes Welker all day. You know, and that's great. 100 catches, good job. Yeah. He's going to be awesome.
Everybody and their dog knows exactly what that means to our offense. And really quick, I mean, all that means to our offense is you had Brandon Stokley, who was productive last year. He's an upgrade from Brandon Stokley and makes us a triple threat at receiver rather than just 2.5.
True.
So,
absolutely.
So, okay, no, Wes Welker.
He's obviously an upgrade over the corpse of Brandon.
And he does. He reads the zone so well. And Peyton Manning reads the zone so well. And that's one of the things that they talked about is that he fits into Peyton Manning's scheme so well because he played with Tom Brady. Tom Brady's the same kind of guy who reads a defense like that from the snap of the ball.
Clearly a system fit. So, yeah. I mean, look, I mean, the Wes Welker signing, it's great for you guys. You're in win now mode. I mean,
absolutely.
There's no doubt about it.
You know, he's 31 years old. We got him on a 2-year, $12 million deal.
Which
2 years?
Which apparently was either a little less or exactly the same amount the Patriots were offering.
Yeah, but he wanted a change.
Well, I mean, you get your chain jerked for so many years. Like, I mean, how many? Yeah. What was it? 2-3 years
in
a row?
Look at last year what they did to him.
Yeah,
he wanted out. Clearly, he wanted out. He found the money that he kind of expected,
and a quarterback to play with.
And a quarterback that was just as much of an intellectual football player as the one that he had.
Absolutely. You have to be if your head's that big.
Yeah.
You know, Peyton Manning.
Come on!
Yeah, I mean, look at the forehead. It's gigantic.
Come on.
But, yeah, Wes Welker, obviously a great signing. But Luis Vasquez. This is kind of a little coup for you guys.
This is a great one.
Not only do you project him as a starter, because my thought was, is like, well, that's great depth, and you also pluck somebody from a division rival.
Which,
how sweet is that? I mean, how often do you want to give the giant fuck you to the Chargers?
Oh, every time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I've never met a man who hated Philip Rivers so much. Like, in all honesty.
Well, if you just stop crying. No, okay. I'm not going to rip on Philip Rivers.
No.
Here's why I like the Luis Vasquez signing. He adds a lot of depth to our offensive line, which if you have an aging veteran quarterback who needs protection, and once he gets some protection, he's going to find anybody who's open. Another thing is Cooper. I love the guy. Coop. Everybody loves him. The whole offense
Coop
loves
him. Coop with a K, baby!
Dude, he's one of those staples in our offense, but these injuries... Especially
now that his leg's back together.
Yeah.
That helps a lot.
But
yeah.
The injuries just kept coming, you know? And I mean...
They did.
When you really look at it, he's 30 years old, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
And so...
Just at the tail endish of his career, you know? But,
yeah.
He's got good years left in him.
He does. But he will be the backup at this point.
Absolutely.
Luis Vasquez has had one penalty his entire career.
Wow, that's amazing.
And that was his rookie season on a PAT attempt.
Breno Giacomini has a penalty like once a quarter.
Every other play.
Yeah, exactly. When he like loses his mind and drills a dude. Like, so to have a dude that comes in and doesn't beat himself is such a gigantic deal.
And cost your offense precious yards.
Every time. You can't get behind schedule on offense.
Yeah.
And so Luis Vasquez is one of those players that's not going to do that to you.
Yeah.
And to have that kind of depth, it totally shows that John Elway is looking at this just like the Chiefs looked at Joe Montana back when they brought him
just
in.
Just protect him.
Protect the China doll. Like, that's what you're doing.
And keep him upright.
You can't get him hit. And so if one of your starters goes down, you need a quality reserve to come in and be sure that Peyton isn't hitting the deck.
And if Chris Cooper is your reserve, you're sitting pretty at this point.
Absolutely. So you think Vasquez is going to be the starter and Cooper is going to be your backup?
I do think he's going to beat Chris Cooper out. Just because of the injuries and because of how athletic Luis Vasquez, he was San Diego's best offensive lineman by far.
Exactly. So my question is, so has the Broncos come out and said that he's actually
No. Everything's open competition.
Everything.
This is my personal opinion, and I don't know. I'm not on the inside. I have no idea. But I do think we brought Luis Vasquez in to be a starter because Chris Cooper's injuries are mounting. I love the guy, but he is injured all the time.
And so, just like we said before, health is a part of talent.
Yep. And with the Luis Vasquez thing is, he doesn't allow sacks and he doesn't get penalties. And when you're playing for a quarterback that expects perfection on every single play,
right?
And you bring in a guy like Wes Welker who can read a defense so well, you bring in a guy like Luis Vasquez who's not going to be penalized, your offense is going to click on so many more cylinders. And then you just don't take your foot off the gas pedal.
Yeah, because if you do, then you know the Ravens might drop a bomb on you, and you lose a playoff game.
Raheem Moore, I still love you. I do. Yeah, I know you're still trying to locate the football.
It's out there somewhere.
But I feel very comfortable having you come back as our starter.
Hey,
Raheem Moore's great.
I had to relive Falcons memories. I had to bring up the other Dirty Bird and some Ravens memories. But so obviously Wes Welker, Luis Vasquez, there's also one more, and it's more of a re-signing than bringing a new guy in. But Lance Ball. How about this Lance Ball guy?
I love Lance Ball. He plays a lot in the preseason, of course.
Yeah.
You know, everybody gets a shot.
Yeah.
But the one thing I like about him is he's low to the ground. He can be a small kind of wrecking ball figure.
He's a poor man's Ray Rice to me.
Totally is. That's exactly it. And he doesn't fumble. But he's got such shifty feet.
He's
a small guy.
Quick feet.
I've been talking about Lance Ball
good vision.
For a while. I love Lance
Tough
Ball.
Tough player. How is he in pass protection? That's something that
Okay. When I think of Lance Ball in pass protection, there's one play. Forgive me. I can't remember exactly who we were playing, but he went into pass protection and just got rocked, man. Because he's not a big guy.
He's not a big guy.
And when you're going against some of these guys who are 250, just coming at you full speed, if you're not a big guy, you're going to get blown up. It's rare that these guys have enough power to get that leverage.
Well, all you're trying to do at that point is just slow a guy down.
You slow a guy. And he...
Cut him.
He did. Do what you have to keep Peyton Manning upright.
Exactly.
But I do like Lance Ball because it's depth of the running back position. And with Peyton Manning, we're definitely a pass-heavy offense.
Well,
if you got a guy who can hang on to the ball, who's got quick feet and a good receiver, he's got good hands.
Yeah.
That's why I like Lance Ball coming back. Because you can put him in there, and he's never, ever going to be a liability.
So you look at your guys' backfield. You got Lance Ball. Looks like, what you talking about, Willis is back?
Willis McGahee is back.
I love Willis.
Keep the ball in your hands.
Absolutely.
Keep those fumbles down.
And Nohol. Nohol Moreno.
He's not Nohol anymore. He has no shot. Okay. What started the Nohol Moreno thing was because he was horrible running through the tackles when he first came into the NFL. He has clearly shown a dramatic improvement, and I like Nohol Moreno coming back.
I noticed the improvement in Nohol's.
It was night and day.
It was night and day. And it clearly looked like he learned from being on the sideline after injuring himself.
Watching Willis McGahee.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one cut and go.
Willis, yeah. And this is exactly how the Broncos running game has been.
It's that zone blocking
since Shanahan started. You know, it's one cut, go. Terrell Davis mastered it.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
That's why we could put these powerful guys in, Mike Anderson, Atlantis Gary, any of these guys.
Yeah.
One cut, go, five, yeah. 6 yards.
Done and done.
Maybe you'll bust one. I don't know.
Yeah.
But our backfield's looking pretty good at this point. Ronnie Hillman.
Oh, Ronnie Hillman. I can't believe I forgot about Ronnie Hillman.
The biggest knock on him last year was that he didn't have that NFL body yet.
Right.
And he didn't have... Yeah, he was lightweight. I think he was like 190 when he came in.
Holy cow, are you serious?
But he was not a big guy.
Yeah.
And so the thing that they wanted to do was give him a few pounds,
yep.
but keep his agility and his speed up.
Yeah.
Which they've done that. And pass protection was a big thing for him too. He didn't have the size to get it down.
Yeah. But Peyton wanted him out of the draft, right?
Like, oh, absolutely. Yeah, he was all about it.
Yeah.
Because he's a hell of a threat coming out of the backfield. He can catch the ball, and he's got that speed and agility to where anytime he touches the ball, he could go the distance.
Oh, absolutely. Guy's quick as hell. There's no doubt about that.
So our backfield's looking pretty good at this point. We got a lot of depth there.
Yeah. So
for every down.
I mean, your receiving core looks great, you know, with Black and Decker. and Welker.
I love our receivers. I love our receivers.
Backfield looks good.
Yep.
Quarterback position, you're obviously set. We're
definitely set there.
I mean, you talked about that guy that you draft that you can get to grow with. And that's Brock Osweiler.
I don't know
if you remember before last year's draft, when I was banging on the drum, I was like, I want the Hawks draft two out of however many quarterbacks are in the draft.
Yep.
One of them was Russell Wilson.
And the other was Brock Osweiler.
He's from my hometown.
He is. He's
shout out to Kalispell, Montana, baby. That's
he is a Kalispell guy, and he's 6'8". So let's go over the cons of what they thought he was going to be coming out of the draft.
Yeah.
He had a low delivery point, almost sidearm.
It was almost sidearm. Kind of Philip Rivers-ish.
Yeah, and so instead of being 6'8", he threw more like he was 6'3".
Sure.
Not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But let's use that size.
Yeah.
And another thing.
It's unique. It's a unique talent.
It's a great asset to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other knock was defenders are so skilled in the NFL and so incredibly intelligent that they can follow a guy's eyes from anywhere.
Mm.
And when you're 6'8", they can see you.
That's
they can't see Drew Brees.
That's a good point.
But when you can sit here and look around, and those defenders know exactly where you're looking. And so one of the things that they were trying to get him to do, Adam Gase was getting him to do, is to look off people all over the place.
Yeah.
Adam Gase is one of the greatest things to happen to the Broncos.
So that's one of those situations where you take your greatest disadvantage. And turn it into an advantage. These guys are looking at your eyes that hard because they can. Like, it gets
classic misdirection.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But he's also an athlete. He's a hell of an athlete.
He's a
gigantic
athlete.
Hands.
Yeah.
I like him as a pocket passer.
I love his arm tattoos.
Why did you have to bring that? We're not going to talk about his tattoos.
Okay.
So anyways, he's got great speed. And he's a good athlete. He's got a cannon.
He's got a gun.
And learning from Peyton Manning, however long it may be, I'm not going to say what I would prefer.
Well, the guy's in the twilight of his career. You're going to get as many years as you can out of him.
Yeah.
And they're going to, obviously, last year was a great year.
It was. And I'm really glad that Brock gets to learn from Peyton Manning because we're hoping he just picks off, you know, from a lesser point of where Peyton Manning
left.
Coming into his career.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so if, you know, any amount of time he can learn from Peyton Manning, I'm okay with. So I love Brock Osweiler for the future of the Denver Broncos.
See, now I do too. Now here's something that's interesting. I had read an article on Bleacher Report, and they were talking about how the Broncos had brought in a couple of guys, QBs, that could go in the mid to late rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring up the question, how much confidence do the Broncos really have in this guy? And I looked at that and thought, that doesn't make much sense because obviously John Elway has come out and he has said some really just definite points of support for Brock. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he's come out, he said he's getting better and he likes what he sees.
Yeah.
So if they do bring in a guy, it's a lot like the Green Bay Packers did when they had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. They had Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre from 05 to 07.
Yeah.
They brought in a mid-round pick, a fifth-round pick.
To groom him.
To groom. Absolutely.
Yeah.
To bring in another quarterback. You always are trying to bring in another quarterback.
Yep.
So that if you can build him up, you have another trade asset.
Exactly.
It has nothing to do with the Broncos' confidence in Brock Osweiler.
No.
We got
great quarterback teaching in our organization. If you think about it, we got Adam Gase coming now as our offensive coordinator. Greg Knapp, who we got from the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
But we also have John Elway. These are guys who are notable teachers at the quarterback position.
And Peyton Manning.
And, of course, Peyton Manning. So, yeah. I don't think we would have drafted, in just my opinion, I don't think we would have drafted him if we didn't think that he had a solid future with the Denver Broncos. If we didn't see anybody worth drafting at that point,
yeah.
We would have brought in free agents as a backup and just gone with Peyton Manning and hope to God that something happens in our future post-Peyton Manning.
You're just going for plan A.
All of a sudden,
yeah.
We do have a plan.
Yeah.
And I like it.
I do,
too. So let's keep rolling.
So you guys are pretty set on offense. Now, your defensive signings, again, these are solid moves. I got to say, me personally, when I look at the defensive signings, Dominic Rogers-Cromartie on a one-year deal? Are you kidding me? This guy can play. This guy got traded to the Eagles for Kevin Cobb. Like, that was part of the King's ransom that they got for that. This guy's a player.
He is legitimate. And the reason I like him is when you look at what Philadelphia did with their defensive backfield, Nnamdi Averagwa.
No, he is no longer awesome.
No, he can't call him now awesome. Nnamdi Averagwa.
He's Averagwa.
But also another factor of what I think was the debacle of the defensive backfield of the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, you have these two guys. Dominic Rogers-Cromartie had a Pro Bowl season.
Absolutely.
He was a Pro Bowl cornerback with Arizona.
Well, look.
Nnamdi Asamoah was a Pro Bowl corner with the Raiders.
Absolutely.
They both fell off.
Well, there's a giant reason for that. I mean, you look at the Eagles. Who did they bring in for their defensive coordinator? An offensive guy, Juan Castillo.
Yeah.
Fucking dog.
Hoping he could just flip over and transfer.
That is one of the things that proves my point that 80% of the population is below average. you don't bring in an offensive guy to be your defensive coordinator.
No, God.
And then they run a system that does not play to average Wa's strength.
I mean, no, because these guys are man coverage guys.
Man coverage guys.
Dominic Rogers-Cromartie is the same way. These guys love man coverage.
He's got a long wingspan. He's a big dude.
He is a big guy.
And from what I know, he's pretty fast.
Let's see. What his 40 time was 4.29. That's quick.
4.29.
Yeah, him playing opposite of Champ Bailey, but you also have Chris Harris, who I don't know what they rank him as a corner now, but he's got to be high. I love Chris.
I read on Bleacher Report,
undrafted free agent.
He was, if I remember correctly, he was a top five guy.
Should be.
I can't disagree with.
I love the guy.
Yeah.
And so if you with the addition of Dominic Rogers-Cromartie on a one-year no liability contract.
No, it's a prove-it deal again.
Yeah, you have Chris Harris, who's a young guy, undrafted free agent also.
Absolutely.
I think I just said that. All these guys playing with Champ Bailey, but you also have Tony Carter.
Yeah.
Who is a great slot guy and can come in and add depth to your defensive back.
And so, you bring Tony Carter back, right?
Yep.
And, I mean, again, in the slot. And honestly, a lot of these NFL offenses, where do they do their most damage? I mean, look at the Patriots, for example.
It's in the slot and across it's right across.
Need a solid slot guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, with Tony Carter, Chris Harris, Champ. Yeah. I mean, you kind of glossed over Champ. And like,
well, of course, because he's just a given at this point, you know?
He's even beyond a given. I mean, he's an amazing player. He's one of those guys that defies age. Like,
one of
he's
the Kobe best Bryant-esque. Of our generation.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's a lot like Kobe, playing at a high level at an advanced age. Hopefully he keeps all his Achilles.
one of the things that our defensive backfield had to go through last year was in that game against the Baltimore Ravens, Champ did get beat.
Yeah.
Raheem Moore... We all know the play.
He got beat once.
So our defensive backfield was, you know, they just didn't show what they had done all year long. Raheem Moore played great. Champ played great. Tony Carter played great. Chris Harris. Our defensive backfield is solid.
Absolutely.
Dominic Rogers-Cromartie just adds to that.
And you got to also just understand that some of that is the Ravens were just winning it that year. It was Ray Lewis's year to win the Super Bowl, stand at the 50-yard line, and get ascended into heaven.
Well,
like, there was no way around it. Like, there was no way.
And so would Jacoby Ford because he touched him.
Exactly.
But, jeez.
So the
Ravens also had everybody coming back from injury. They were full force when they played us.
Sure. All the deer antler spray. Like, I mean, they were.
I think we definitely overlooked them a little bit. just because of how much we destroyed them at home. I thought we were going to destroy them again. But they were at full capacity when they played us again.
Yeah.
Granted, I think we still should have won the game. A couple things happened to where we didn't.
Yeah.
I think it's going to fuel us for this
but
year.
But you also did address some of the things that came out of that game with Tony Carter in run DRC. Like, these are solid signings.
I feel good about our defensive back. I mean, we got Quentin Carter coming back at safety. And yeah. I'm a big safety guy. My favorite NFL player of all time, Steve Atwater, of course. Number 2-7.
Yeah.
Chris Okoye. How do you like that? And so I'm a big safety guy. So, I liked Kanoy Kennedy when we got him.
Yeah.
You know, just to name a couple.
Yeah.
So I love Quentin Carter. I liked him. I liked when we first drafted him.
Yeah.
I liked his solid rookie play. He got hurt last year. He's coming back. You know, we've tried to piece together some safeties. And,
yeah.
You know, we are the kings of bringing in old safeties to retire.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think we're going to do that anymore.
No, I think you're done with the Lynch, old man Dawkins, like, model. Like,
absolutely.
I think you're over it. You want guys that can actually, like, move their arms, unlike Ryan Dawkins. Like, they were always just stuck in, like, that, like, flexing gun mode. Like,
look at me!
Yeah, just, like, wheeling around in the waist.
I love Ryan
waist.
Dawkins,
like,
man. But, I mean, we got Mike Adams, so there's still some veteran presence at safety. But with these guys getting a little bit older, I think we're going to be even that much better at safety.
I think you've improved on defense. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think the way that you look at free agency is you look at your team and you're like, net, are we better or worse? And honestly, like, I look at the Broncos.
Both of our teams got better.
Well, yeah, but I look at the Broncos free agency. You guys got better. And not only did you get better on the player side of the ball, but you got better on the coaching side of the ball. I feel like you guys got super conservative, especially towards the end of the Ravens game.
Like, it was bad for us.
Absolutely.
Too.
And I don't know really if that's bad. A function of John Fox or who.
I think it was because he's more of a run kind of guy. He's a run offense kind of guy.
Right. Or the offensive coordinator who ended up in, what, San Diego, right?
Yeah. McCoy.
So, Mike McCoy, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. So, Mike McCoy, whether it was John Fox's balls that sucked up inside of his body cavity.
Either way.
Or is Mike McCoy. This Adam Gates.
In the end of the fourth quarter, if you got some time left, you got Peyton Manning, you freaking go downfield. That's all you do.
Taking Adam Gates from your quarterback's coach and making your offensive coordinator, from what I've heard, this guy,
if there was one guy who did not care for some of the play calling last year, it's Adam Gase.
Really?
He's a pedal to the metal, aggressive, let's give him all you can kind of guy. If there's 20 seconds left in the half, let's see how many points we can get.
Yeah.
He's that kind of guy. Great quarterback's coach, great player's coach. He can relate.
Oh,
he can translate between guys. And so I think another year with Peyton Manning, with Black and Decker, and now adding Wes Welker, I think we're going to be on all cylinders. But not are we just going to be on all cylinders. We're going to be aggressive on those cylinders.
So
I love having Adam Gase as our new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and you pair that with a Peyton Manning.
Big time.
I mean, not only Peyton is a tactician, no doubt. Like,
yeah,
I mean, yeah,
totally.
But he is not a passive tactician.
No, he likes to go for it.
He likes to go downfield.
He's a professional though. So if you're going to take a knee in the fourth quarter when there's a few seconds left, he's not going to like it, but he's going to agree to it.
He'll do it.
Not happily.
But behind closed doors.
Yeah, he's going to be a little pissed off.
Yeah, the Manning face is going to come out. that vein's going to throb a little bit on his gigantic Frankenstein forehead.
Hey, and he just doesn't like the calls at that point. So,
yeah, I hated the calls.
So did I.
In that game. I think I was screaming at the TV with you on that. Like,
well, especially because, what we'd seen happen to you guys twice this year
in
the very end of the game was a team march down within 30 seconds and score a touchdown. We could have done that and ended the game in regulation against
Raiders. Done and done.
Yeah. But anyway, well.
Yeah. But we'll that's why Adam Gase is an important deal.
That's why we promoted him. We need to restore the balance between conservativeness and aggressiveness.
Yeah. And
I think that does that.
And I think, absolutely, between John Fox, who I believe is an amazing coach.
I love John Fox.
Guy took Jake Delhomie, the homie of the homies, to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If you can do that with that interception machine. Guy's a hell of a coach.
Yeah. And you have enough brass basically underneath you to bring in Jack Del Rio as your coordinator.
Oh, absolutely.
And being okay with it without being the head coach.
Yeah.
That's got to say something about the alpha male that he is as a head coach.
Oh, absolutely. But he does have that bit of a conservative mindset.
Of course.
And I think Adam Gase is going to be the yin to that yang.
Yeah.
And I really think that
is
an amazing pairing for you guys. I'm actually excited for the Broncos offense this year.
Me too. It's going to be a little faster paced. These guys know each other a little bit more, but I think we're going to take more chances. We played really conservatively last year. We didn't take a lot of chances.
It was a little more dink and dunk, and you don't know if that's a function of Peyton kind of just getting back to health a little bit.
Well, as we talked about before, you know, in those first five games, you could tell his arm strength wasn't up to par.
It was a little noodly.
And it got better.
Yeah, he did.
It got a lot better.
It got a lot better. And from what I've read, I mean, there was a tweet by one of the NFL.com writers saying that he was zinging it at those workouts down in Duke.
Oh, yeah. And he also said that this year is so much different from last year because he was rehabbing last year. And this year, he's 100%. He's ready to go.
Yeah.
So, pretty excited about that.
Andre Caldwell wouldn't know.
No.
But, I mean,
Duke got one pass.
You better have more than one reception to get invited to the workout. Like that.
Yeah. Man.
That's just how it goes.
Greg Orton's getting invited over to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, you know, one guy we didn't mention on defense, and
Is our man.
You know, he's my favorite.
Go ahead.
He's an amazing Bronco. And you know, we're Montana boys, so obviously, you know, anybody that's close to around here, we're going to root for a little bit. This Mitch Unrein character.
I love Mitch Unrein. What a touchdown pass.
Out of Wyoming.
He's a fan favorite.
He ought to be.
People love him.
Yeah.
I love having Mitch Unrein around. He's just one of those kind of locker room glue guys. Yeah. Kind of seems like you just want him around.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he's going to come and he's going to fill in for a defensive tackle. Yeah. And he's not great at D-tackle.
Yeah.
But he's serviceable.
But he can bring a Vickerson off the field for like three snaps and give him a blow.
Exactly.
You know, and we talked a little earlier about having that defensive line depth and how important that was to the Giants
it's
Super Bowl
so
run.
So important.
There's your guy right there.
We got a lot of my favorite free agency signing actually that we did this year.
Yeah.
And bringing in Wes Welker basically on the same day that we brought this guy in. You really didn't hear too much about it.
Okay.
And Jack Del Rio coached this guy. He actually drafted him in 2009 with Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And it's Terrence Knighton.
Oh, yeah.
Mount Knighton, baby.
The Mount Knighton.
330-pound run stuffer. He's only 27 years old.
330 pounds.
330. So this I think, is a big difference maker for us because good luck on first and second down, trying to run it up the middle. And now we got a deep defensive backfield to pick this stuff off. I think we're fine. And he just adds so much more depth to our defensive tackle position.
Oh, combine that with your guys' linebacking core. I mean, obviously.
It's big time.
We could go into all the linebackers. But, I mean, there's Vaughn. He'll do it in a pinch.
He's Vaughn Miller. I mean, we got Wesley Woodyard. We got Danny Trevathan, who everybody's really excited about. He was a rookie last year. He has all the tools to be a great linebacker.
Yeah.
We brought in Steven... No way. Give me a second. Stuart Bradley out of Arizona. He's 29
Stuart
years old.
Stuart Bradley's solid.
Yeah. He's a better Keith Brooking at this point.
True.
He's a veteran guy to just kind of add some depth. So I think we'll be fine there. Yeah. We're going with Nate Irving as our middle linebacker.
I was
going to
ask you about
right
Nate
now.
Irving on that.
I like
that. Yeah.
You know, he's got another year under his belt to learn in the NFL system. Yeah. And they talked so much about, when they talked about him, they talked so much about how long it takes to really learn that middle linebacker position.
Sure.
Which our base package is mainly a nickel package anyways.
Yeah.
And with Vaughn being that hybrid defensive end, linebacker, outside linebacker position, he'll be great to come in. Just like Danny Trevathan. I think we'll be just fine there. But Terrence Knighton is my favorite free agency signing.
Where does Joe Mays fit into that?
Depth.
Just depth.
I love Joe Mays.
I kiss.
You know I do. Just North Dakota State.
Yeah, North Dakota State. Like, you
I
know,
do. And Wesley Woodyard, too.
Oh, God,
we got guys everywhere. Man, we got guys everywhere.
You guys are jacked.
Steven Johnson, he'll be in his third year. He's out of Kansas. He played special teams last year.
So, clearly, as I, you know, that kind of runs through, like, free agents on both sides. Both the Seahawks and the Broncos. And as I look at that, there's only one clear conclusion to come to in this entire thing.
I know exactly
one.
Where you're going.
Just one. It's going to be Hawks-Broncos in the Super Bowl,
in the Super Bowl, in the preseason, we're going to the preview.
So, just so you know, this podcast will only last 1 year. Because if that does happen, we won't speak to one another.
Our friendship will be over, as will this podcast.
And that's sad on a few levels. But, you know...
It's looking good for Broncos and Seahawks fans this season.
I look forward to it.
Even with injuries, which are just going to happen in the NFL, our depth is looking pretty good.
On both teams. I couldn't be more excited about how the inaugural Flock of Donkeys podcast.
It was great.
Here. Thank you so much for joining us, folks. We're going to keep doing this. Probably our next one's going to be post-draft because neither one of us are draft experts.
No, and pre-draft shit sucks.
It's stupid. But with that said, there's only one last thing to say here, Jared.
In John we trust.